Report of our school business administrator.
Okay, calling everyone's attention to two pieces of correspondence. Congratulatory letter, which corresponds with the award ceremony earlier this evening, and a letter from our insurance company, New Jersey School Boards Insurance Group, regarding the approval of our application. A little while ago, you approved the application, then we received word that we got the money, and that's all good because the majority of the work is outdoor work and will be planned during the warm summer months, so the timing is perfect. And this is a nice thing that the New Jersey School Boards Insurance Group has done for, I think, 3 years now, and it's great because it's found money. It has to be used for something that makes the district safer in the broadest scope of that word. And I always really enjoy getting it because it's kind of like getting to play with it a little bit.
Pat, I'm sorry for not knowing this. How is that money then used, the 16?
What happens is we determine before when you apply, you have to have a budget and use for it. So administratively, we reach out to the principals. Actually, get a little bit competitive on what projects they would like done in their building, and then we make an analysis of what would be the best use of that money. In fact, this year when we added it all up, what we determined to be a high priority, it's a little bit over the grant. So what we're going to do is we're going to throw in a couple of extra school dollars to get us to do all of those projects. Offhand, I remember one of them is an asphalt pathway from the side of Round Valley to the back of the school, which is really a mess. It's a tripping potential waiting to happen. There's some work at RVS as far as drawing traffic lines and signs, because I don't know if you've ever been at RVS, a drop-off or pickup, but there's a lot of traffic. So all safety-oriented, and fixing a sidewalk at PMG.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, an informational. Mr. Jinkup, you had suggested people think about running for the board, but if they look at this, they're going to say no. The board has 3 meetings coming up in the next 3 weeks. We have a meeting next Thursday, which is the board retreat. And then the 13th is a special meeting. Our architect of record, Kevin Centurino of BSA&A, will be presenting a solar project plan. Okay, of which input will be accepted, because the hope is at the end of that evening we will have board approval to go out for an RFP. So it'll be tweaking the location of the solar installation, as well as, if all goes well, approving, okay, now go out there with it and see what kind of responses we get. So that's a rather important meeting. And then the last is the quote-unquote regular meeting of the Board of Education, which is June 27th. I'd also at this time like to mention that the energy audit results are in, and I thought the best thing to do was for it to be discussed at the committee level first, which would be the Finance and Facilities Committee. And with that in mind, it's been requested that that committee, and I think this is a good suggestion, maybe try to start at 6:30 on the 6th rather than 7, because you have a firm 8 o'clock stop, because some board members then have to go to the second committee. And we do have a pretty heavy agenda. So if you're able to get there around 6:30 on the 6th, members of Facilities and Finance, that would be great.
I will
send an email.
Is it 27th is a public notice meeting too on that? Or is there,
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
For the meeting on the 27th, is there a public notice meeting on that too? Is there?
Public notice went out already. It was. I didn't look in the paper, but it should have been there.
Yeah.
Last Thursday, yeah.
I'm not here on the 6th, just so you know. I'm away that week.
Okay, let's discuss that offline. Okay. And before we make the motions under the business administrative section, I'd like to call your attention to 11BA55 has a typo. It should be May 9th.
Should be what typo?
May 9th.
Thank you.
May 5th is Lebanon Borough, May 9th is Clinton.
Which one, 55?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Frieda, every meeting of the board we have to give a public notice, though.
Well, but for a regularly scheduled meeting, there's one annual notice.
Right.
So June 27th would have been covered under the list, except due to subject matter, it required a separate ad.
But the meeting on the 2nd and the meeting on the 13th, we have to notify the public that we'll be meeting as
well. Talking about it.
Okay.
Already done.
All right. Is that it?
It is.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I'll entertain a motion for action items 051 through 058. Somebody would like to make that motion?
So moved.
Second.
So moved by Mr. Frieda, seconded by Donna. Any discussion on any of those action items, 051 through 058? Michelle?
I had a question on action item 054, the minutes of the reorganization. The minutes themselves are not really reflective of a lot of the conversation that went on. I know that this has been standard practice before, but in the interest of trying to serve the needs of the public that can't make the meeting, reading those minutes just really doesn't tell them a whole lot of what went on.
Well, that's why the audio was recorded.
Yeah, unfortunately, that audio
had
the problem.
Right, that particular day. But
it does give us the opportunity now to say maybe we need to provide more information in these minutes.
Or in lieu of finding out that there was maybe half an audio lost, maybe recapture in the minutes meeting what took place, to memorialize.
So, what are we suggesting? Somebody transcribe the audio? Dictate the whole thing? I mean, what are we suggesting?
My recommendation would be to make a summary of some of the conversation that went on. And if there's a concern that our summary might not adequately reflect it, we can always say, you know, please refer to the audio as available. This is our best effort.
In this instance, we lost the audio. It was unfortunate.
I understand. That's once out of the last, I don't know what you mean. I'm uncomfortable with somebody summarizing because it tends to be subjective.
How about just in this particular case, because we don't have the audio, that there's an attempt made to capture it, and then we can always, before we approve those minutes.
How will we capture it since we lost the audio?
Well, we've captured part of it.
Part of it
is captured.
That part, but the part that's missing is the part of concern, and that's gone.
We can do our best.
Well,
we were all here. We can do our best for it. The public can comment.
An hour, 14 minutes into it, it went
on. Yeah. I prefer to rely on the audio because then there's no question about who said what.
But we can't rely on the audio because there's always a potential of losing the audio.
Well, I'm going to argue with that. You know what? I don't remember an instance where that's ever happened before.
That's the first time.
I think your point's well taken, although I agree with Mark. Let's rely on the audio. If this was a glitch and it happens again, then maybe we need to regroup, but I would rather listen to what people say verbatim. I also don't want to tax what already seems like an overtaxed business administrator with having to, writing the minutes is a very, very time-consuming activity. But would you agree with that, Pat? And I think it's important, and I'm...
But I
do want to say that we specialize in closing the barn door after the horse is out. Effective tonight, we have a backup audio system. So that right now, we're being recorded twice.
I mean, even among ourselves, we've had disagreement out before about what somebody said in the meeting. And we can't even remember ourselves. The meeting's gone for hours. And I am numerous times have had gone back and pulled up the audio and sat there for 2 hours listening and trying to find the spot so that I can find exactly what somebody said. I've done it for here. I've done it for the town council meetings. There's nothing more reliable than that. Again, I suggest it's an incredible amount of work. And you're going to try to capture the essence of what somebody said because he's not going to have time to capture every word. And the moment you do that, there's going to be some subjectivity in what's written. I would suggest that we stick to a fairly high-level summary. And if you want to know who said what, you know, hear it from the audio. That's my suggestion.
So how do we recapture the moment of our reorg meeting on some topics that maybe people wanted to revisit and weren't able to revisit? Like myself, I wanted to revisit that tape and check things out to be kind of clarification when I speak on some matters. And now I can't recapture that, but yet if it was in the minutes, I could maybe, you know, refresh myself a little bit. I mean, it's fair.
Yeah, I understand your point. I just feel that it's a one-time technical glitch that you're going to impose an incredible amount of work for something that I don't think is that valuable because it just doesn't happen very often.
But, we could just add more detail, just in the...
Well, to be honest with you, they don't exist. The minutes are the minutes, so I'd have to go back and think, and I'm...
Try to reconstruct the conversation, and that'll be impossible, obviously.
Well, yeah.
Well, we do have detail to some of the action items that came after the tape stopped, but not others. So we did selectively add data to the meeting minutes after the tape stopped. It's not great level of detail, but there are summaries on some action items, and there's no summary on others. So in my particular case with 054, we had a lot of debate over personnel negotiations 203 and 204, which related to the pay for the administrative staff.
4%.
It's probably half an hour back and forth on it. I felt it was important to, in the context of why I voted the way that I did, that's not memorialized. The only thing memorialized is the ayes and the nays. So I'm not comfortable that the minutes from that meeting accurately reflect the discussion that was held on those action items. So.
I mean, you can't sit here and say Jim's topic of conversation never existed. It did exist. And whether we want to, whether we agree with it or not agree with what was said, that's not the issue. The issue is it was a topic of discussion. And now we don't have it memorialized in any way, shape, or form here. But, you know, we need to be transparent and accountable for our meetings.
I think the backup audio is prudent.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the technology is behind it, but I think that's a prudent thing to do in light of what happened in this instance, as opposed to writing a written record of every single action item.
To streamline this particular process, I mean, we as board members can take our notes of what we wrote down during the conversation and share them, and we can help take on the extra work because it's
that's actually inappropriate. The minutes are that come out of the board secretary.
So we can't provide any input to them or comments to them?
They're really my minutes. I sign them.
The problem with that is it always gives somebody the opportunity to write down something different than what they actually said or transcribed at the time, and that's, I believe, why that's not allowed. Again, the idea is to capture exactly what I can't think of how many times at a meeting here or at a town council meeting somebody said this. And when I went and listened to the audio, wasn't quite what they said they had said. Often it's not quite right. Sometimes those subtle little details make all the difference. And that's why, again.
But I don't even think that there was any summary bullet point that talked about a discussion that happened in regards to the 4% for the non-affiliated people. And that wasn't even represented in the minutes at all. And I think.
Well, that would be fair. There should be some bullet.
There should be something, and I think that's what Kevin's saying. I think that's what Michelle's saying. I think that's what Mark is saying, is that, you know, we're not looking for detail here, but the fact that that conversation happened, you don't have to say it was said this way or it meant this, but there was a discussion about how it came about, who was going to get it, and that. And I think it could be very simple, a few bullet points, but the fact that the conversation took place needs to be memorialized somehow.
I'm okay with that.
There's an action out there. You're in discussion. The board can decide to take action or not approve it or table it as it's out here now and put it back to the board secretary and myself to see if we can rectify that. But as it's out here now, board can take action or not take action.
Well, let me, I don't know if this is a fair question. If I'm out of line asking the question, then tell me if you don't know. But would you have a problem recreating a paragraph or two in reconstructing it?
Absolutely not. But I would be concerned, and if it's the board's wishes, we'll do it this way, but I would be concerned about making this a whole other task on ongoing every day or every month.
I think that the board was clear, especially with the backup now, that it would just be this time, this letter.
I have no problem. So what I would suggest is that we table that motion.
Yep.
I'll redo it, and then we'll put it on next one.
And are we, can I just, to be clear for Pat, are we talking specifically about the discussion about the 4%, or were there other areas that people thought needed to be beefed up?
For me personally, it's 203 and 204.
Everything else is memorialized, I believe.
Yes, it's 203.
Everything else appears to be
basically
memorialized.
Was left out.
We have a motion on the floor and a second, and there was talk about tabling 054?
Yes.
I'm not that familiar with Robert's Rules of Order, but I think if we have a motion on the floor in a second, we're involved in discussion right now, that in order to table that, someone needs a motion. We need a motion to table, and it has to be accepted by the individual who made the motion originally. Who made the motion originally, Mark, to accept items 051 through 058? You made that motion, Mark.
Yeah.
So someone needs to make a motion to table 054.
So moved.
That needs to be seconded.
Second.
You need to vote on that. Well, you need to accept.
I accept.
And then we need to vote on that, and then we can vote on the other items. Is that right, Robert?
It is.
So actually, right now, we're voting on tabling 054, correct?
Yes.
And let's have a roll call vote on that.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Ms. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Ms. Sullivan?
Yes.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
Motion carries 8-0.
Now,
I'm sorry, one quick question. The committees that were decided on the 9th were redone on the 10th. It says on the 9th that what was redone on the 10th existed on the 9th. Is that okay?
Okay, wait a minute, say that again, Maria.
You went back
we
and
agreed,
adjusted it.
Yeah, we agreed on the 9th that the committees would be X. After some discussion, then it went to Y. But the minutes...
Oh, they should not have been updated.
They were.
That should not have happened. And that should not have happened.
Yep.
So those need to
no, the minutes have to reflect the action of the 9th.
That's in the that's in 054 also.
Yes. Yeah. It's just when I go back to change the minutes.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. And any other discussion on items 051 through 058, excluding 054? No further discussion. If we can have a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Freda?
I abstain on 51 and 52. Yes to 55.
Well, whatever, 53.
There was no 53.
There's no
53. Oh.
Sorry. We didn't like 53.
Okay. Abstain on 51, 52, and then?
Yes on 55. And I abstain on 56, 57, and 58.
Okay, so of that group, the only one you're voting on is 55, and it's a yes.
Correct. Everything's pre-yes.
Okay. Okay. Ms. Grant?
I abstain on 51, 52, yes on 55, abstain on 56, 57, and 58.
Same exact as Mr. Freda?
That's correct.
50. Okay. Ms. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Ms. Sullivan?
Yes on 55 and abstain on the rest.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
All the motions pass.
Thank you. Is there any old business that needs to be brought before the board? Any old business that needs to be brought before the board?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark. I just a couple questions just about the audio. So we have now in place two processes. So we have a backup to the first mechanism, or how did it happen? And then do we have things in place now to ensure that it doesn't happen again?
Yes, as I put out to the board and got their input on it, the audio filled up the folder that it was in, and we did not know when we set it. We put a restriction on it, obviously, that it filled up. It should have been open-ended. And it stopped recording because it was saying that the folder that we applied it to was done. So what we've done instead with the backup is ensuring that it is open-ended. So it should go for at least 48 hours. So the battery runs out or we run out. So the current situation now is just that. If there is any technical problem at one end, we're hoping that Murphy's Law, it doesn't happen again that same evening.
Thank you.
Separate microphones?
Over here. Yes.
Yep. Okay. So we're being recorded.
You have the small one in front of you.
Okay. They're totally separate.
Mark?
Yeah, being able to talk on the topic of the discussion with Jim, I guess, when we talked last meeting. It was brought up that there was verbal agreements made and some non-CPAA contracts that were approved. Not contracts, but say raises that were approved. And I'm not too concerned. I'm not here to debate the 4%. That's neither here nor there. I'm not saying yay or nay on that. I have my own feelings on that. I'm a little more concerned that verbal agreements are getting made and business is conducted through verbal agreements and spending the taxpayers' money. And I'm a little troubled. I didn't expect to hear that, quite frankly. And I was a little troubled that there were verbal agreements. We can't be spending the taxpayers' money through means of verbal agreements. And I just hope it doesn't happen again. I wasn't part of the board at the time, but I just hope going forward that we don't conduct business that way and we don't make it a practice to do that. I just want to see a good board. I'm not trying to create any waves here. I just want to see a smooth board. And I'm proud to serve. Like Jim said, it's an honor and a privilege to serve here. And I just want to make sure that we're doing the right thing and looking out for the taxpayers and not conducting business in verbal agreements.
Well, one of the things that did come up, Mark, from that was a discussion from Mark and Kevin regarding how to not only quantify what is discussed, how it's reported out to the whole board, not just through committees, and then how do we tie that to the evaluation process? So that's what the leadership team and I have been working on for the board.
Thank you.
I appreciate you bringing that up, Mark. And not only should the superintendent and the leadership team be discussing it, but it should come up before the personnel committee of the Board of Education so that there's board input. And then from the personnel committee of the board to the entire board.
And I wasn't part of it, but there was a resolution for that, was there? Or
pardon?
Was there a resolution that was it to be voted on at that time? It was put in the form of a resolution, an action?
It was, yes. So it was something that was not discussed with the whole board prior to that.
Correct.
Okay. Again, I wasn't part of the board. I just hope it doesn't, you don't make it a practice anymore.
You heard.
Thank you.
Any other old business that needs to come up before the board? All right, moving on to the first public comment on agenda items only. Before we get to the first public comment, at the June Board of Education meeting, we anticipate voting on a contract for our superintendent of schools at the June 27th Board of Education meeting. It's been advertised that there will be public comment on the superintendent's contract at the June 27th meeting. So at this particular time, where we have public comment on agenda items only, we will not entertain any comments on the superintendent's contract for this public comment, but we will for the second public comment, which can include any items of concern to the public. So any questions or concerns, especially relative to the superintendent's contract, can be brought up under the second public comment, but not at this time. At this time, it's just comments on agenda items. So if anybody in the audience would like to address the board with a question, with a concern, with a complaint, please feel free to come up to the mic, state your name and address, and limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Not a compliment.
Yeah, they can come with compliments too. Thank you. Come up to the mic, please. State your name and address and whatever comment you have.
Relative. Stan Belly, 1424 Lane, Annandale. The one question I have is you had mentioned that there will be a public meeting to discuss the superintendent's performance on June 27th, is that correct?
That is correct.
When does the contract come up?
On that night, same night. Our let me explain a little further. New Jersey requires boards of education to issue either a 3, 4, or 5 year contract to their superintendents. Superintendents in New Jersey no longer get tenure in their position. The boards of education have to offer them a 3, 4, or 5 year contract. By statute, when the superintendent comes a year before his contract expires, the board has to make a decision, either to renew his contract or not to renew his contract. If we did not take any action on the superintendent's contract at our June 27th meeting, the superintendent would automatically be rehired for an additional 3 years. So this board will adopt a resolution either offering our superintendent a new contract or not offering him one, and that will be done on the 27th. And there's an opportunity for public comment at that meeting, as well as at this meeting at the second public comment session.
And as well, the unapproved contract will be available for public review when the board agenda goes out that Friday before the meeting, so we'll be out there.
Okay, thank you.
You're more than welcome. Any other comments from the public?
Well, just a quick one. I'm afraid of fortune bringing chairs. Is there a point where you're going to, Kevin Carroll, that you're going to go over and tell us why you should come, you'd be back for another 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, where tell us what you've done for the school, you know, kind of like bullet pointed out so people know who you are and what you've done?
That's a question.
I'm
sorry. That's really not part of this. And you're opening up a whole discussion about, you know, what he's going to say and whether he should be rehired, and that's not really appropriate for this. It's not an agenda item.
Okay, but is it going to be something on? You want me to ask it at the second time, or is this going to be done? Do I wait and ask you on the 27th? Is my question.
You can ask it second public comment.
That was my question. When should I ask that?
At the second public comment.
I will do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rachel Mabaco, 2 Squires Lane. I have a question about action item 11FF158 and 159. I'm wondering if they're the same amounts of money. It's not $13,000 twice.
They're related. So one is spending the money that we're required to spend.
So one is the outcome of the case, and then the second one is that's the result.
Implementation.
Okay, so it's the same amount of money. And then in conjunction with that, in a previous board meeting, there was a special addendum to the agenda where there was going to be legal fees incurred for a student in the amount not to in excess, if I recall correctly, of $15,000. Is that a different case, or is this the same amount of money?
Different.
It's different. Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments from the public on agenda items? Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. First committee is Facilities and Finance. Mr. Kaplan.
We actually have not met this month. Nonetheless, I continue to work on the Vought House with Mr. Don Sherblom. He was proceeding slowly. We made a little progress. We could get another round of paperwork in for our attorney, Walt Wilson.
Also reached out to SHPO, asking now that the subdivision looks like it's within sight. We've reached out again to SHPO, which is a follow-up from April of 2010. Action, which began at that point, about the easement.
Right. Don has mentioned, by the way, that there is a possibility of receiving some grants. Those are dependent, however, on the property being transferred, hopefully before the end of this summer. One would think that's attainable, however it's taking so long. I'm not sure if we can do it or not, but it's it would behoove us to try to speed that up if possible so that he doesn't lose that money. On action items, we have another numbering mistake. Please note on page 9 that there are two. I'm sorry. Sorry. On page 9, there is a slight numbering problem. There are two number 173, action items. So if everybody would be so kind as to relabel the second one, how about 174? That work for everybody?
Thanks a lot.
And let me move those items. So FF 150 through 174. Let me point out 174 is the award of our extraordinary aid. I believe Pat sent an email out to everybody about that. That is not called out there.
I did want to elaborate on that a little bit. In Hunterdon County, we got the third highest amount, second only to Hunterdon Central and North Hunterdon Voorhees. So I wanted to congratulate the business office who puts a lot of, and Mary McLaughlin's office, who put a lot of time and effort into doing what it takes to receive those funds. We bring it to the next level. There's nothing that we don't include legally, but to the full extent.
Maybe get national about the timing, but we don't really get this money to the end of the interview.
This is a funky thing. You get this money now, but you don't have, you get the notice of the award now, but you don't get the money until August or September, which of course is beyond this fiscal year. So what they say is, we know. So therefore, this is an allowable carryover. So I really consider this, in my mind, 11-12 revenue.
Because normally anything that happened this late would have to become surplus, right? But this is an exception. So we actually do roll it into the next year's revenue. Okay.
Mark has made a motion. Do we have a second to that motion?
Second
by Grace. Mm-hmm. Any additional discussion on any of the items in there? Go ahead, Mark.
On 151, we did get we obtained the prior written approval on for the travel on that, I guess. So I think you have written approval.
On
151, it says the school district shall obtain the prior written approval of the executive county superintendent when more than five individuals from the district are pending.
It's for out of state.
That's out of state.
Oh, yes.
That's out of state. Okay.
Right. I'm sorry. I was like, Where is that coming out? Because you know what? That actually came up, Mark. My secretary grabbed that and said, wait a minute, I know we had an approval once. And that was the part that we should have been ready for that. I apologize.
No, okay. And then on 158 and 159 tie into each other. What was the date of that settlement, please? Just so I can know the date of the settlement. If you're able to. Well, how about this? Was it before May 9th or after May 9th?
It was actually after May 9th.
After May 9th.
Yeah, it's one of those where as soon as it is out of the arbitrator's hand, or if it's an administrative law judge, we try to get it before the board so that we can start the process that what we hope is the end of litigation. So that's why you'll see this evening under policy and negotiations, there will be an addendum that actually just came about last Thursday based on agreements that we worked on.
Okay. All right, so the settlement came out after, but the whole process was free, obviously.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you mind a couple questions?
Go ahead, Grace.
On 169, the intermodal, is that the same rate as last year?
Actually, changed a little bit. What we did is we took all the stipends and just made it possible up a flat 30. So it's an adjustment a little bit because there used to be another stipend included. It used to be supervisor buildings and grounds that they shared also. And it was like this really wacky amount. So to clean it up, we took the stipends plus $30,000. So the Clinton Township School District makes a flat $30,000 profit.
Okay.
So it's a moving target. And the stipends increased by the amount of the Lebanon Borough. It's not the Clinton Township increase, okay. Which for this year is 3.13.
3.13.
Kevin on panel 173.
Oh, I am.
Sorry.
On 170, on the tuition rate, that's purely based on the formula, right? What's in, what's out, that.
What we do here is we take the last year of state audited cost per pupil, which in this case is 2009-2010. And then you shake it out when the state audited costs for that year come out. So for instance, this is for 11-12. So the cost we charge is based on the state audited amount for 9-10. When the state audited amount for 11-12 comes out, there's two parts of that adjustment. One is the dollar amount of the tuition, And the other is the number of kids on roll October 15th. Those two parts are calculated, count and cost, compared to what was paid and an adjustment.
Okay, but it's based on that formula of what we're allowed to include and what we're not allowed to include.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Kevin.
On 173, the sharing of that maintenance personnel with Elva. What is the trade that we need from that?
HVAC. What happened was, as you know, Clayton left, okay? And in the budget, which passed, is an HVAC position. But right now, we don't have anybody on staff with a knowledge of HVAC to the level that we require. And I don't know if any of you remember, we had to actually delay the opening in the middle school one day by a couple of hours because we were having heating problems. And our brain trust on this now works with DelVal. So it's both Maddie O'Brien and Jim Dychek. So we had to bring them over.
So what do you mean our brain trust?
I mean the people who at this, yeah, they're our former employees, okay? So, you know, Clay walked in the door with as an HVAC technician. So though he didn't have the historical knowledge of our system, he was an HVAC technician, okay? We don't have an HVAC technician right now. So we are void of a knowledge base right now. And HVAC is not something that you can put off for a couple of days.
So,
and in this case, we knew that there were people who had the knowledge that could turn it right around for us in our need, our time of crisis, instead of trying to get a third party in who would have to be brought up to speed.
So. And that's actually the, I'm sorry, it's probably way more than you want, but the HVAC work is bid under Hunterdon County Consortium, and it's $82 an hour. Now granted, then you have an HVAC technician, but this is a better deal for us.
How many maintenance staff do we have?
Right now, 3.
And the person we hired does not have that background?
No.
So we have an expansion hire mm-hmm. for maintenance?
Correct. Okay.
That was approved in the budget.
Right, effective July 1.
And that person will have the proper
certification?
Yes.
Is there a certification will be in the solicitation for that employment? Is there a state required certification?
There's a level, I believe it's journeyman at least, to be able to meet the needs of coverage for in-house work, Kevin. You know, they updated the legislation on what you would need an electrician, a licensed electrician. But they also gave you a range of what's that license, because there are many different steps, and you can have somebody with a journeyman's license to do that work. And we're looking to try to get ahead of that curve, knowing that pretty much coming down for HVAC soon.
Okay. So then whoever does require the certification, if it's DOE, we'll check to make sure that the person we bring on.
Yes.
You know, because there's been changes in the past 12 months of what staff needed in-house to do certain types of maintenance, like the electrician.
Yes.
So I just want to make sure.
That was actually just legislation that had just become effective.
Okay. So this rate is better than...
Yeah, but they're not willing to come and give us 10 hours. I mean, they're DelVal employees. They were really helping us out in a bind. Not to be melodramatic, I was laying on the table ready to give blood and had to get off because we had no heat. So, you know, heating is one of those things that really can't be put off when you have a problem.
And what's the time frame for keeping this until we make
they came at night.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what's the time frame for the transition to
get somebody?
July 1st.
Yeah, July 1st.
Hire somebody. So we're hoping to have someone to the board at the June 27th meeting.
Oh, okay.
If the candidate pool meets our expectations.
Okay. So it's like a patch.
Yeah.
I had a comment on another action item, 165, related to the $71,000 for technology spending on the ARRA. I oppose this action item, and it's something that's come up over the past 12, 13 months since I've been on the board. We've had multiple action items for spending on the ARRA. I often don't agree with the district's philosophy on what the ARRA money is to be used for. And in particular, I've asked if we could review potential ARRA spending in facilities and finance before we committed funds again. And it's frustrating to me that large chunks of money continue to appear under ARRA on board agendas that we haven't previously discussed. I'm going to ask if this could be tabled because I don't feel comfortable with this spending. I don't think other members of facilities and finance do. They can speak for themselves. But if we, I think it would be appropriate to have a discussion generally about ARRA and about this recommended spending in particular. But I am going to ask if we could table this for further discussion before we vote on it.
I agree with Kevin. I think, you know, all of the information I've read over the last year in regards to ARRA, I'm not sure that the way we've been spending the money is necessarily in the spirit of how the ARRA document was written. And I think it would be great to table it so we could have a robust discussion so we all know, you know, what the spirit of it is and how the plan for spending in relationship to this is going to be spent. Because I think it's pretty much technology driven at the moment and not so much based on a lot of the things that I believe that the ARRA is supposed to cover in that area.
I apologize, I don't have the total award at the ready, but I just to give a kind of little background, this was approved by the board 2 years ago. And then subsequent amendments had to be made because of the plans put out there could not be met because of the inability to get the training locally that we wanted to get done. So we made changes into our professional development plan regarding ARRA to make sure that we were getting the most bang for our buck. This is money that was given to us by the federal government, and you have a 2-year window to spend it. It has to be spent by August of this year. So I would only caution the board that if it is tabled this evening, it needs to be fast-tracked so that we can encumber funds, because I know, given the governor's directive, he would like to see that school districts use all the federal money.
Well, it's not a good reason to spend it for that purpose in that matter. And if we have not spent it in the 2 years and we're now under a crunch, I would say shame on us for not planning better.
Well, to that, Kevin, you know, there was a set plan, and given that the discussions that were going on, I was asked to bring out more information. You and I had many discussions at board meetings prior to you being on the board regarding ARRA. It was approved at the county, state, and federal level. The supplement part of it and the supplant part, and the spirit that they spoke to was, it is cliff funding. You only get the money for 2 years, so invest in yourselves. You do that by invest in your staff, by training, and you invest in equipment and supplies. And that's what, in the information I gave to the board, tried to show that that's what we did. And to do that, we got input from staff, from administrators, to drive our decisions moving forward, and we'd love to do just that, put it towards our training and our equipment.
Kevin, wasn't there a document, I kind of remember a document that said exactly what the money was going to be spent on, and then that had to go to the state for approval?
Correct, and then an amendment had been made because, as I said, training that we planned was not going to be able to happen within the 2-year window.
Okay, but it's basically the same. In essence, the same thing, but just done differently.
Correct. It still supports inclusionary training for our staff, as well as response to intervention and social skills training, and other areas that we deemed important for our children.
But why don't we talk about, like, the items you just read off, how much of that spending we're using for those purposes. Those are appropriate uses of the money. But that's a small fraction of what we actually use the money for. And just to give general guidance to people who may not be familiar, the federal guidance on ARRA, and I took this off the ARRA guidance today, the federal guidance. In general, IDEA Part B funds must be used only to pay for the excess cost of providing FAPE, free and appropriate public education, to children with disabilities. IDEA funds cannot be used for core instruction in the general education classroom, instructional materials for use with non-disabled children, like textbooks, or for professional development of general education teachers not related to meeting the needs of students with disabilities.
And the fact that we're an inclusionary district, that's how we were able to apply for that, Kevin, and get that approval.
The fact that we, and I would like to see that, but the fact that we applied and the local the DOE and the county superintendent approve that is disappointing. It's still not correct.
But it was approved all the way up to the federal government.
I would like to see that. It is so explicit that the funds...
I gave the board a list of our approval dates, and I'll make sure that the levels are spelled out.
But I'll read it again. IDEA funds cannot be used for core instruction in the general education classroom. Instructional materials for use with non-disabled children. We just spent $49,000 on rental general education textbooks. Or professional development of general education teachers not related to meeting the needs of students with disabilities. So the vast majority of that funding was spent on a large chunk, textbooks and general education training. And on technology,
Mr. Sturgis, I'm just going to clarify one thing, okay? The part that you're talking about is supplemental.
I understand that,
okay.
It's still subject to supplement, not supplant. Even though you're using supplanted funds, it still must be used. You can use it for school-wide reforms, but it's still subject to supplement, not supplant.
Mr. Lenhart, not the June 2nd, but the June 13th, action will be taken at that meeting, publicized?
Yes, it actually says solar and any other action which may come before the board, and that action may be taken.
I would put that to you, Board President. If it is tabled, I can have a information to the board prior and then a presentation at, so that we could possibly take action on NARA.
Kevin, I would ask you to make a motion to table 165.
So moved.
Second.
Mark,
I'm sorry, who seconded?
Grace.
About three or four people. All right, we have a motion to table with a second. I don't think at this point do we need any additional discussion?
Can I just ask that? I know we have additional money in those funds we have not spent, and somewhere on August 1st or August 8th, we need to spend that money by? I'm not sure.
August
31st, thank you. Can we also, in that presentation and information we received from you, Kevin, understand how the rest of that money is going to be spent, too, so we don't have to revisit this and we can get a general flavor for how these funds are being spent?
Other than this money that was on the agenda tonight, there was only another $5,000.
One other point I'd like to make. This particular action item is $71,000. And the prior action item, the two board meetings ago, I think it was $49,000 for the textbooks. I've probably addressed this issue to the board before being on the board through the Special Education Advisory Committee and since being on the board 12 to 15 times over the past 18 months, and even asked that this be discussed before showing up as an action item on the agenda. And I just don't understand why we continue time after time for these things to appear on an agenda, and I see them for the first time whenever I open up the email over the weekend for a Monday night board meeting. I just, knowing my interest in it and my background in it, I just can't fathom why this does not get brought up for discussion until it's on the agenda.
When was the last Facilities and Finance Committee meeting?
Right before the budget.
Was this one of the items you discussed at that meeting?
No.
I don't think we've ever discussed an ARRA spending item in a Facilities and Finance meeting. Or any meeting, for that matter.
We have a motion and a second to table, been approved by the individual who approved the motion. And I'm going to check Robert's rules of order to see if we really need that. Okay, let's vote on the tabling of 165.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Ms. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Helfig?
Yep.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Sturgis?
Yes.
Ms. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mr. Dinko?
Yes.
Motion carries 8-0.
Let me make a point in reference to what Kevin said. I think it's fine to discuss this at the Finance and Facilities Committee, but this issue is big enough that I wouldn't be comfortable making any decisions about how to spend this money without the whole board. There's a number of issues here. There's the quote legality of it. You know, is this the right thing to do according to the way the Act is written? But there are secondary issues. Regardless of whether it's been approved, there's a philosophical issue. Even if we can use the supplant money for other things, what do we as a district want to do with the money?
Agreed.
And those are bigger issues that I don't think the Finance and Facilities Committee
And I don't think that discussion was ever had as a board.
That I would agree. you would discuss that on the 13th.
Yes.
But you know, we as a board are going to have, and there may not be agreement. I think there'd be.
I understand, but it should at least be, it's big enough. It's $399,000, one-time funding.
Right.
It's earmarked. It's IDEA Part B funding. And if you look at how we spent it, it makes me sick.
Our superintendent will bring the data and we'll discuss it as a board on the 13th. Okay? Can we vote on the motion? March motion.
We finished that. Now we have to do the rest of finance and facilities.
Can I just
okay.
The data that Kevin, that you bring to the board for that meeting, can it go back and be comprehensive enough to take us back to where all the dollars have been spent?
I was going to try to do it by the timeline from when we first got the award forward. And then also try to give an assessment of where it was implemented and how it's going.
Okay, that's perfect.
Would the board be able to get that information prior to the meeting on maybe that Friday before the board, before the 13th?
Can we get it sooner is better.
Is it where the money was spent already?
Everything.
Yep.
Is,
like, I can send it tonight. It's
okay.
Ready.
Okay.
I will do it tonight. I'll do it tomorrow.
No, tonight. It has to be done tonight.
You mean tomorrow?
Okay. It might be useful to send a link out to everybody. There's this site here at the government. It has the there's at least a short summary of IDEA and ARRA funds and how they're supposed to be spent.
I know we're going to have this discussion, but there's one thing that keeps coming in my mind here. I assume that this money has to be spent on specific things, not just special. Special ed, but also specific things within special ed. Is that correct? Because I'm sure that our special ed costs have increased over this time with other things. Is that correct? I mean, could we have used this money to cover other increases in special ed over the same
time? As Kevin pointed out, as long as there is a tie to the special education program or needs, you had latitude where you apply that.
Wouldn't it have just been easier to apply it to the special ed increases that we have actually incurred?
Well, that's one of the things extraordinary aid covers for us as well.
Okay.
It's not really dependent on salary offsets.
Right. This is one-time revenue.
We had to plan ahead how we were going to implement going forward. And the idea, and I'll try to spell that out for the board, is what you can supplement your current program to, what you can supplant, meaning you can move money that was in the market for special education and be able to pay that forward by using the ARRA. I will show you how that falls out.
Right. The focus is on what to do with the supplanted fund, which is found money. There was no discussion about should they be supplanted at all.
But is it intended for things above and beyond what you're currently offering?
That is one way that you can use it, yes.
Okay, but it's not the only way.
It's not the only way.
Okay.